How are you? I'm doing good. It's very foggy and kind of a little cool outside, but the extreme weather is over. And I had something coming to me this morning to speak about. Let's see how that kind of sort of unfolds. These topics sort of drop into me, and they're sometimes important to address. Let's have a little first a little moment of silence and just kind of allow yourself to just be here. So we are in the healing module, really, module 5, and it's a lot about healing. So we want to just let all the pranas, let the breath, let everything just be. Welcome. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Satsang. It's going to be Satsang with a bit of a topic here today, which is sort of arising, which is not easy to talk about, but I'll try my best. And it's probably due to the fact that there's this Uranus and Saturn square, which is a certain energy which we can see out here in Canada in terms of structures being challenged through, for example, the trucker strike. And so what is being imposed is being challenged. And Saturn is the old structure and Uranus is the new, you could say, very electrical, very innovative, and sudden as well. So we're in a time right now where this is, we can kind of ride this energy. And this brings me to the topic of religions, because they are the old structures. And in order to really truly be healed and be whole, these have to be left behind fully. And I might, you know, step on some people's toes here today, but I will just speak from a place of truth here, from Satsang, and give you a way to look at things in a new perspective, because any perspective is this ring of consciousness that you're finding yourself in. It's this closed drama, this closed story. It's like a ring. You're in it, and that's your frequency band. And everything makes sense in it, and you kind of go forward apparently in time, and in essence, you just kind of go back, and you go forward back into your past. You're not going anywhere. So we have to open that ring really into rather almost like a spiral, or think of, you know, jumping into a new band of consciousness, which is what we, you know, often do in, for example, in the package work or somewhere else. We're shifting in order to come into a new frequency. A new frequency is a new way of seeing things. Now, there are certain things that we can take along and we would like to take along, but they kind of become really heavy, and they're becoming sort of almost disease-making in us. And we become antsy. We want to throw this off, but it kind of brings up deeper feelings of guilt or shame or whatever it is, because we got so deeply programmed as part of the third paradigm. And it has to do with the religions. We know these are the monotheistic religions, because in 2D, in two-dimensional time, it was the polytheistic, you could say, many gods, many more matriarchal angle of experience, and then moved into the one point, and which we you know of, and we speak about, we call it source, creator, etc. I use it also as the nexus of all reality. But in religions, and as we want to kind of look at, is that there's a lot of story around it. And it will become a hindrance as you move forward into enlightenment if you do not let go of all concepts and ideas what a good person and a bad person is, what an enlightened person is and what is not an enlightened person, which usually most people think an enlightened person is a good person. They're always nice and all that. And we have many of the teachers out there that will say that in some form or another. It makes sense, because we're in 3D consciousness, and 3D consciousness was based on good and bad, on duality. And when we move from 3D going through 4D consciousness, 4D consciousness is basically this reconciling of good and bad, coming to a neutral way of seeing and beholding ourselves in the world. And this is why you have to start with the witness. You know, you want to basically come into that place where we go beyond right and wrong and good and bad. Now, what very deep imprinted is this idea of, for example, Yahshua or Jesus. especially in the Western culture. Yeah. And many of you, maybe, or some of you, or maybe not everybody, I'm just talking generally, they would like to take that image with you. And from my perspective, this man did not die on the cross, and this man is an amazing being. But the story around that he sacrificed himself, we know that is based on older mythology, and older religions, the Zoroastrian religion, the Egyptian ones. These are regurgitated stories from that are basically repackaged into 3D consciousness and offered to us, and were offered to the masses. Now, if somebody does the story of him sacrificing himself, it's going to become obsolete because he was rising again on the third day. It's just the whole story, when you think logically, just within the story itself, there was no sacrifice, because what was, there's nothing lost. In fact, it got better. And collective, and we all bought this, or maybe I didn't too much because I wasn't really resonating with that too much. But especially because in Italy, it's more about Maria and the mother and so forth. But this is something that is really deeply embedded in everybody. It's to sacrifice yourself and to become a better and good person, because there's something wrong. And so this right and wrong and the whole story around that needs to be healed and let go of if you want to move through 4D into 5D consciousness. Now, any other religion, whatever that is, that has any kind of structure, that if you do this, an angle of perception is very rigid, which is all religions have. Religion is a very rigid structure of what is the right thing to do and what's the wrong thing to do. And that's very good in the beginning, because if you have a very primitive people, they need to kind of learn what's good and what's not good, to kind of just in society get along, and also resonate or bring out or touch on that spark of life that's within us. So that's good. It's some rules, you know, we have some rules. And then later we kind of drop the rules. And we want to drop the rules even deeper today. We want to let go and realize that you are life. There's neither something good nor something bad about you. I just kind of notice, you know, how caught up you are in this programming, which is all this 3D programming. And it was made sure that you can't get past 4D, because you either go to heaven or to hell. And who wants that anyway? So you want to try very hard to get to heaven, but that's, you know, it's not true heaven in the fourth dimension, and hell is, you know, nobody wants to go. That is of a sane mind. So there, you know, everybody's stuck. So now here we are. We are doing this incredibly radical, revolutionary meditating. Yeah. Meditating, which is not good. It's not important. Even in the New Age community, sometimes, as I spoke about, it's like not the right thing to do. It's kind of old fashioned. So all little ways to keep you from basically slipping into the zero point, that core that you are, that is beyond right and wrong, and to basically begin to breathe your own essence, to breathe the breath of life, and to get into a ring of awareness, a ring of perception that's beyond this idea of right and wrong. And when we let that go, ego literally goes. No ego left. Ego doesn't come along in the sense of having its own will. So ego becomes more a divine expression, an organic functioning expression, just like the way it's in animals or in nature. It binds itself to the whole, to the totality. maybe you find that there's some trickery inside of you that might not need to go. And it's a good time right now to put that to rest and to maybe just smile at it and just to see it, to perceive it, have awareness, light, eclipse the program, the idea, the restriction, the illusion, the Maya. Life expresses itself in all these different dimensionalities. And even people in the second dimension, in 2D, they had their old religion. And that old religion had its concepts as well. And that was also a restriction. That's just part of the evolution of consciousness, and it's all beautiful because everything has to be done step by step. And now we're moving into a new step, where we are dropping away from all these concepts. And we're just really walking out into what we call often a sovereign way of being. But that sovereign way of being doesn't really carry any religions with it. It's kind of really, kind of maybe a little daunting, because the mind wants to hold on to something. Now there's a whole other layer to this. Coming back to the story of Christianity, I'd like to repeat something that a long time ago when people in Spain said, when people said, well, the apparition of Fatima, you know, Mother Mary is Fatima, did that really happen? And the people would say, well, we made it happen. Even if it didn't, we made it so. Because if we have a collective amount of people, we are creating things as humanity. We create actually visions, and then they come and appear to us. And we created everything. In fact, there's this creation process that always goes on. And so we create our own gods and goddesses. And in the process of enlightenment, you move to the divine level and you own them again, you merge with that part of yourself, and then you move on into the light levels and you merge with the masters, and you realize even that was an illusion because you're having a relationship with it. You can see it, you can touch it, talk about it, you can have an experience, and you experience it and you move on, and you let that go until there's nothing left, just life. And then life will just move through you. And sometimes you can be gentle. And sometimes you can be ferocious. Sometimes you can be boring. Sometimes you can be inspired. And you have the freedom to let everything move through you. Because there's no judgment left. You have left the fourth dimensional reality behind. Judgment has, we could say, matured into love, because the fourth dimensional reality is love. So whenever you could say that the judging aspect is the love itself is the judge, you love life as it moves through you. It becomes a function of loving. So from a right and wrong judgment, you just love whatever moves through you and you don't have issue with it. You don't have issue with anything. So you're really here, and you're nowhere, and you're everywhere. And the beauty is that anything fits into it, so all the stories fit into them. So it's not that we have to eradicate them, we have to make them bad, we have to polarize ourselves to them, but we just allow them all to exist as is, and we find a new perspective in relation to everything. And the closer you come to the place of being everything and nothing, the more you will say, I don't really know. I know nothing. Who knows, really? And you are barely touching. You know, it's like you tread very lightly and you move from this very solid experience of being an ego that is always needing to judge and sort and organize. You move into a place of suspension. You're suspended in space. You're neither here nor there. You go into timelessness. And then you're able to give birth to your own mythologies that come and go, maybe for a moment, for a day, for a year, for a lifetime. And they arise and they subside, just like the breath. And you become this cosmic being that always existed. Okay, so we'll have a look at all the hands here and just have a look at what we're going to talk about. I'm going to turn Facebook off, which is bleeping. Davey's first here. I'm going to update Davey. Hey, Davey.
Hi, Rakima. I want to sit with you, and I also have a question.
Yeah, okay, just ask the question.
Okay. You know, finding Katie, like the process, the work, and I was just reading it. And I understand her question until the turnaround. Like, are you familiar with the question?
Well, the good best answer would be if you work with Byron Katie, you go and talk to her directly because she's the expert, right? So I don't teach that, although I've seen her in person and I understand a little bit her turnaround thing, but I didn't consider her enlightened, so I just went to one of her seminars, but then just kind of left. So I didn't really use her method. But if you feel like you really, just maybe just contact them directly. I don't want to really talk about something that I don't use, you know?
Okay. No, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
So can I just sit with you really quick?
Sure. Mm-hmm. You know, in essence, if you understand the polarity processing, this is just another version of it, you could say, because it's always about finding all the angles of the program and basically collapsing it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Thanks, Davey. I have Jeannie here. Hi, Jeannie.
Hi.
Hey.
So I'm trying to wrap my head around this, and it feels like I've got it, but so as you talked about that we use the symbols, and, you know, you've given us, like, pictures of the Virgin Mary and others to meditate on. Mm-hmm. We use those to focus our mind and to just drop away from everything and allow life to move through you. And then let's see, you said love everything and not take issue with anything. So right now I can get that on, let's say, I'm going to use my hands. It's above my head, but then I'm thinking, okay, I have to live life. I'm going to drive a car. I'm going to interact with people. And then it's going to, again, you know, it's like I wrote down this morning that I feel like something is unfurling and just falling away. and what you're talking about, I get, but how to move through life and not touch anything. That's just that's kind of awesome. And can you explain that a little or help me?
Yes, yes, yes. No, that's really beautiful. The practice of meditating, and let's see, when you sit and meditate, in itself brings this and builds this skill of detachment, you could say. And then you go about your life and you just live your life. You just don't think about it. You just do. You really just do your stuff. You're in the moment. You do stuff. Don't try to think about everything, because that is how no dog or cat would do that, or a little child. You know, we're just in all our capacities of emotion, mind, and body are all working together. We're really present. So when you do your spiritual practices, you will basically then naturally develop these detached. There's something happening within you that continues throughout the day and changes you. It's just like when you eat three times a day maybe, and you don't have to eat all day all the time in order to keep the body alive. You do it at certain moments, and then the food gets sort of goes through a process. Same thing with your meditation or your concentration. You do this process, and then the body and your mind, your conscious processes this, and it changes you. So then it's easy, you know. You just do your thing, and then you go about your day in life. Now, regarding, let's say, these images you have, the reason why they're there is because we need to move through the divine levels, and we have these archetypes in us. And as you meditate with them or use them as focal points, these archetypes contain elevated expressions of our soul, you could say. And you want to touch them and bring them alive inside of you. And then as you basically begin to synchronize with that frequency, the moment you synchronize it, there's going to be no polarity. You become that, and then you move past it. There are, in fact, doorways to move past, but you have to first awaken these aspects within you. Does this make sense?
Yes, and I'm sitting here next to a library of books and movies, and I had this analogy that kind of, that what we do in life, they're all little storylines or little things that are happening, but they are not me.
That's
I'm
right.
Living my life, I can I don't have to touch them, but that they're here, and that I just kind of remove myself from them.
Yes, exactly. You don't get stuck on them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
That's when you started really enjoying life, because you're not stuck on it.
May I sit with you?
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Thanks, Jeannie. Great question.
Thank you.
This is Linda in Vancouver Island.
Oh, hello, Aratima.
Hey.
Thank you so much for your profound words. Wow, they really hit my heart deeply. And the part that really stood out for me is no concept. And when I had that, everything seemed to just drop away.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And then in that, I don't know, is it a vacuum? I'm not sure. It was the sense of total freedom.
Yeah.
It was like so profound.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if I may sit with you.
Mm-hmm. So you can still feel that freedom, yeah? Mm-hmm. Can you notice how worlds are collapsing, colliding, and being reborn inside you?
I just felt that I was like going deeper and deeper inside of myself, and mm-hmm. my head kept going forward, and mm-hmm. I was just going deeper and deeper. I don't know where, but it was like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
But that's what we want, right? And that's when you go mm-hmm. deeper and deeper, literally just worlds are literally collapsing, realities, so many realities are collapsing, and all these mythologies, these stories, everything, you know, this is really big, and you just keep letting yourself fall into, it's free fall, you know, just let it happen, and it feels right. Can you sense
oh,
that?
Oh, it feels great, and even as you were just speaking, I could just feel myself keep going and keep going and keep going, even though there's all this stuff going around me, but I'm
yeah.
still
yeah.
going deeper and deeper.
Yes.
Ooh.
Good. And so now you're not holding on, you're not judging, because if you judge, you stop, and you're in a new band of frequency that is your world then, and that's a whole story. You're being born into a somebody. But if you don't, you are not judging. Yeah? You're just letting it happen. You're in a place of love right now. This is love. This is more really love, okay? Not what
mm-hmm.
we think of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then you just allow, you're restoring yourself, the healing process. It's whatever, we can name it many things. But so now when you're in this place, you're going to be able to recognize whatever you hear, see, and read. You will detect right away if it's caught in illusion, and even on what level of illusion this article, this YouTube video, this person, whatever is in front of you is speaking from. Everything is caught in on a level of frequency, of worldview or perspective that is limiting. But when you're free, you can see that right away. So maybe if it's fun for you, you
mm-hmm.
can maybe recognize it.
mm-hmm. I think I've just been getting over the flu here, and it's been a real reset. I've just seen it as, oh, okay, reset. Way we go. but it's so true what you're saying. You always speak the truth around to me. What I'm saying is I'm
mm-hmm.
recognizing it more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was stuck in sort of that dense part. And then now I just go, well, none of it's true to me, because it's some sort of concept, somebody's
mm-hmm.
take on it. It's always somebody's take on it. And I go,
exactly.
well, that's not the truth. So,
right, yes.
And then if I'm the true sovereign being, nobody has dominion over me. It's like, no,
mm-hmm.
It's God. And then
mm-hmm.
there's no story to it. Anyway, that's sort of what I've been
mm-hmm. good.
Contemplating.
Yeah. Awesome. Good, good. Yes, that's good.
Thank you so much, Rosa.
You're welcome.
Thank
you're
you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. I am now in Calgary. This is Mainona.
Hi, Ratina.
Hi.
Wow. Thank you for all that you said. Just really can feel things opening and flowering within from all the words that you said about, you know, the frequencies and moving beyond. And there's a sense of this, what you talked about throwing, you know, dropping the rules. And there's definitely been a battle going on within me around that, about trying to bring the old band of frequency along with me into, you know, into whatever it is I'm, you know, creating next. And coincidentally, my daughter said the same words basically to me yesterday. We were out walking, and she just said, yep, you got to throw out the whole rule book right now. You got to throw it all out.
Oh,
right?
There you go. Oh, good, good.
Right.
She gets
like,
it.
Yeah, I think just naturally, she doesn't see why it's an issue, right?
Uh-huh.
Whatever you need to do. And so I don't know what I'm asking. There's just this inner battle, like, because I sold my house and I'm looking for somewhere, and I've had quite a narrow focus of buying a house and doing it this certain way, right? Like moving away and having to do this and having to do that. And it kind of all just fell apart within me in the last few days, and it's like it just doesn't matter anymore. as long as I have somewhere to live. It just doesn't matter. It might be an RV. I don't know. So I don't even know what I'm asking. It's just so like it feels like I'm in the middle of it, you know, like I'm letting it go, letting that band of frequency go, and yet still there's something that keeps trying to bring it
okay.
along, you know?
Yeah. Remember Linda was free-falling?
Mm-hmm.
You're holding on to anything that's passing by. It's like you're driving a car, but you're grabbing any tree that's kind of, or anything, and holding on and chewing over it, right? Like thinking
mm-hmm.
over it, sorting it. It comes from a place of fear,
yeah.
usually, right?
Yes, absolutely. It's,
okay,
I've
go back
a lot
to the
fear.
Yeah, go back to the feelings that drive this, that are the engine of this thinking process.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you feel your feelings, you'll quicker come to a place of just being with whatever is. So obviously you're going to be living in a house at some point. Just trust that it'll be a house.
It'll happen, right?
Yeah. Well, the thing is that it all happens, and we can do this more. I think you have the package, right? This is all part mm-hmm. of this manifestation thing. But let me just kind of say this here is that it's just, again, because it's language, it's all polarized. But the fact is that it, which is God or universe, is really you as well. So you as the universe, or in co-creation or being one with the universe, is going to give the best to you. If you, the little Winona, is getting out of the way and not trying to hold on to it and slowing it down, do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's emotion coming up around that.
Yeah, these are the different parts of yourself. There are the smaller, the more limited parts, the emotional parts. And then there are those, what we call higher self or more advanced perspective parts. And it's like, who are you? When are you what? And that's the thing. I mean, we do certain things in certain rooms, and we use our hands, sometimes our feet, sometimes our voice. And we learn to use these different parts of our consciousness appropriately. We can't have the little toddler drive the car. The little toddler is crying right now, or the person inside of you is crying right now, doesn't know how to take care of that whole house business. It's just like, I don't know, I'm way overwhelmed with that, you know? So it's the mm-hmm. other part in you that takes care of that. So getting all that sort of, all these things come together is the healing process. So it gets unified. And the unification takes place when we stop judging.
The judgment of... the judgment of anything, I guess, like including, say, the little Winona, the
yes.
judgment of her, or
yeah.
any judgment of having to do it a certain way, or judgment
yeah.
of the world, or
exactly.
3D existence, anything.
Yeah, and it's just, don't you feel that how heavy and just, it's just so much effort?
Yes. Yeah.
Just let it all go, yeah. Yeah. Okay, take a deep breath. Breathing is good.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Can I sit with you then for just
I'm already sitting. We are already sitting.
Okay, better shut up, right? I should do that.
Okay, thanks, Winona. Good, thank you.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, thank you. I have Danielle here. How are you, Danielle?
Hi, Rachna, I'm doing well. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Excellent. So I've been sitting with my attention in the heart space, like just on the last call, and I just kind of wanted to check in, I guess, and see how I'm doing with that, if I should keep doing that.
Well, it sounds like, first of all, if you're feeling really good, that's a good sign. So I can hear that right now. Yeah, let's just sit for a moment. Yeah, that's good. There's much more peace there. You just keep doing that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Good. Awesome. Glad to hear that. This is Kasri. Hey, Kasri.
Hi, Anashima.
Hey.
Felt so much move through me already about what I was going to talk to you about.
Yeah, that's normal. Just let it kind of reconfigure itself in your mind now, because it's like the stories, the mythologies they talked about in the religions. If we just don't freeze it, it just keeps moving. That's just the way life is. So just let things move through and see what if your mind comes up with a certain, something that it wants to say.
No, not really, because it's already been taken care of. And if I was to talk about it, it would just be my addiction to drama.
Mm. Yeah, good. I'm glad you can see that. You can feel that ease of just living and letting it things, you know, you have the awareness that that would be drama. Is there something, but you also, we have sort of, we also have things that come from a much deeper place, like a true place, and it's a true question. See if any of that arises, then you'll see the difference. Do you notice how much quieter your energy is now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So when you look for drama or you go in your mind, there's this almost this flickering going on. It's very stressful. And then when you sink back into what's true right now, you just let peace. Can you sense that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What does this truth, this peace want to say? Does it verbalize itself in some way? Maybe it just wants to make a statement. Maybe it just doesn't. Maybe it's still. Sometimes this truth is loud and sometimes quiet, just like the night and the day. The night is quiet and the day is loud and outward.
There's some sort of emotional solar plexus if you're talking. I'm not quite sure what it is, or there's this part of me that still wants to express or connect with the truth of that. What if I've experienced in your presence?
What if or what? Sorry.
Not quite sure, but there's like a validation or some need or of what I experienced in your presence. I know that is the truth.
But right. Okay.
That
okay.
And I felt like I lost it. It was meaningless, but it's not. Like it's there, still there. It's still a potential.
The potential for what? See?
For me to be that again, to like that was real, what I experienced with you.
Oh, right, here at the retreat. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yes, yes, yes. Okay. So that is, yeah. And no, it was absolutely real. Yes. And you can't lose something. Like, it's like you had an experience to make love. You can't lose that. It happened. It's just like having a baby. You can't, you know, it happened. It's real. It cannot be undone. So a realization of some sort is real. And yes, it can be eclipsed and have clouds in front of it, but it doesn't make it go away.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. There's a question here, though. I can sense it.
So now what?
So now what is you just continue like, you know, chop wood and carry water, which means you continue your practices or anything else that has basically brought this realization about in the first place. So it's like what we talked a little bit with Jeannie earlier this morning. You just do your... It's just like taking a shower and brushing your teeth, and you just do your practice, be it mantra, meditation, whatever you do, breathing or all of it. And as you do this, you just do it in a very detached way. You're not attached to it. Oh, I'm a spiritual person. I've got to do this. It's so important and it's taking me somewhere. No, with time, especially after all these years, you are already mature enough to know that this is something you do. And you trust that this has, it kind of starts to mold your consciousness in a certain way. Just like when you eat, it'll, vitamins and protein goes to different parts of your body, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay.
That helps. Mm-hmm.
All right. Good. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Okay, this is Mariana. Mariana?
Hello.
Hello.
Wow. Presence is just so huge. My goodness. Absolutely beautiful. Thank you so much for all that beauty that you brought in the very first. I mean, all the way through, every word you've spoken is just so stunning. I just wanted to share that when I first got the Renaissance package, the first time that I listened to it, participated in it, it was just after, you know, I felt like I went through a dissolution just even getting the package, you know, for that, period of time. And when I received it, like you launched it, I felt this, it was like a sonic boom inside of my whole being. I mean, it actually woke me up. I was in the middle of the night and I'd listened to the whole thing and there was just like this incredible boom. And it's the only way I can describe it. But it was the night after, or a few days after the Tongan volcano.
Right. Yes. Okay. Yes, I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, and we've had, since Christmas, we've had cyclone after cyclone. So, you know, we've had torrential rain. And I remember the night before that Tongan volcanic explosion, I came back from the beach and at the ocean, and I said to the girls, I have never seen the ocean look like that. It was just so weird. You know, it just felt weird, it looked weird. But I just felt, so I came home and, you know, we just had torrential rain all night, but it's just that boom. It's just, it feels like it's still I can't even say that word.
Riveting, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, through my whole being. And I just feel like I feel like I've made another shift and I just, I feel that, I just feel more absorbed in the presence of the divine. I feel like a lot has just been shaken off with that. And so much of what you said this morning, I understand it as the truth. At this point, I can't even find any words to bring to it because I'm just dissolving. But I do understand when, and I do feel when you talk about, you are nothing, you are nothing, and you are everything, you know, and you know nothing, because I do feel that presence. And I have done since I was a very little girl. You know, I can find that presence. So I do understand what you're asking is just to completely let go of it all. And I know that I have words that I could put together to talk about that, but I just can't find them at the moment. May I sit with you, please?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Great. Thank you, Mariana. You're welcome. I am at 3364.
Hello, Fatima. It's Nadia from
Hi, Nadia. Yeah.
Could you please, if that's okay for you, repeat what you said at the very beginning, talking about heaven and hell? Because a part of me understood that they don't exist, but another part of me would like to hear it again, just to confirm, to drop this story.
What was the first thing? Half the half? What did you say?
A part of me?
Yeah, part of you, you didn't... okay, so specifically... Good, I said a lot of things trying to repeat this.
No, it was just a specific part about heaven and hell.
Heaven,
and
heaven and hell. Oh, I
heaven,
see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. I gotcha. The heart chakra level is where basically heaven and hell exist, right? And that's where the battle takes place, the battle of good and evil, you could say. And that's the place of judgment where the polarities clash with each other. And the point where they reconcile is what we call love. It's that, you know, the glue or the dissolvent. So what else can I say about that? When we do not, okay, let me say this. Maybe this makes sense to you. When we have, let's say we are in 2D and we move into 3D, our consciousness at a certain level is exploring this level, and it's all great and good and everything. And, you know, you learn the polarization, you learn the patriarchy and all that. We learn how it is to be ruled or taken care of, you could say. In the beginning, it might be what, very nice, but it also has an opposite, and which can be very bad. And then we kind of grow out of it and we move into 4D. Everything that we basically grew out of, that level of consciousness, when we kind of need to go back into 3D, from 4D into 3D, and 3D is a toxic place. So when you're in 4D, you either have to go up into 5D or you have to move down into 3D, and that'll be hell. Because at that point, when you go backwards, it'll be painful. Your consciousness is so much larger, and it'll be restricted, and it'll be painful. You just know too much. You've mastered too much. It's like you having to redo elementary school over and over and over and over again. It's just like not. It's called little. It's too little stress. So, So is that sort of helping? Or maybe there's another question.
That's not the answer I expected. It's surprising because it's kind of linking to the third question I was going to ask you.
Okay.
So let's see how I can say this. Ever since in the healing school you mentioned the mantras, I've committed to a Rama healing mantra sadhana.
Mm-hmm.
And 2 weeks ago, a man came into my life. Somebody who came to my house because I was organizing a weekend for yoga, meditation, some chanting. And then a few days later, he said to me that he had fallen in love with me and big drama, whatever, from his side. I was quite detached and I'm, you know, not in love with him. And I tried to tell him no, but he never listened to me and he kept going on and on and on. And eventually I realized that, the Rama mantra is working with some past karma of mine and maybe related to my past history, because I got sexually abused when I was at high school. And this happened to my mother too. And something is happening, something is clearing. Mm. And I was seeing it from this point of view, from this 5D point of view, and I was actually quite grateful for it because I saw the clearing happening. But a friend of mine, my very close friend who I'm working with, she kept judging me and saying that it was my fault and that I invited him and I shouldn't have. And so somehow you answered this question as well, because I didn't understand why I was suffering so much from her reaction more than what happened with this guy, because for me I just told him go away and don't call me anymore and don't come back and the story was finished, you know?
Because your friend is she's in a place of judgment. She has a certain way of looking at it which is limiting. She can't let it let it be what it is. You understanding that Rama is a noble energy, right? So it's a noble man. And if it was Krishna, Krishna is a lover, you know, of many, many women. But Rama is a very, it's like a noble man. So you're basically clearing out, especially the third chakra, which is a Rama center, you could say. And any kind of control over you. Yeah, so when you can see that and feel that, and it feels good. But not everybody understands these things, but, you know. So, but if it bothers you that your friend is sort of having an issue with it, it is almost like a subtle control that goes on there as well. And it could be a part of you that judged this whole thing originally that you were abused. Maybe you thought it's partially your fault, and now she's acting that out. You know, I think you see that, right? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Hang on, there was something else. So my behavior is cleared now. Okay, if it comes back, I write in about it. May I just ask a different, very, very different question?
Mm-hmm.
You're saying about not getting caught in the stories of religions anymore. But on the other hand, there are many practices that kind of come, if I may say it like this, from a religious background, like some Tibetan mantra practices or some different practices.
Mm-hmm.
So how can we practice the mantras or the different spiritual practices without getting caught up in the story of the religion that has been created around them?
A very great question. It's just like if I give you a cup, like a porcelain cup. And I tell you, this cup can only be used for coffee, and the coffee has to be from Italy, and you have to only use it for 5 o'clock in the morning, but not any other time of the day. So you can use that cup in that way, very restricted, and have all this meaning and story around it. Or you can just take that cup that I gave you, and you can reinvent, and you might even put the plant into it and whatever. So it's like you're engaging with it, because in itself the mantras and the or the chants or the zikrs, they actually are very pure. They have the purity of that. They help us. They're tools that basically are that people have discovered, you could say, and they take us through, you know, into either the zero state, or some take us into the divine states or whatever. And so we use them as tools. We're grateful. But we have sort of a clarity or sovereignty with that. So we don't let them hijack us. We basically use them. Is that the best way to put that?
Yeah, it's just putting a huge smile on my face. But
good.
So, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good. And, you know, I have to say, and I'll mute you. Thanks, Nadia. I have to say that because I've done so many practices, and Jason as well, is that we're discovering a lot of things. And we discovered even things that, to the degree I'm telling you that, and some of it is Jason discovered, where they actually told us, or the teachings tell us certain things, in order to hide things that these mantras or certain things are really doing, because the majority of people weren't really ready to understand, or they tried to divert things. So when you actually begin to enter, you know, a relationship, or you know, with a mantra or a zikr or whatever, you're going to discover some things really that will be very, very real. Just go on with it, and, you know, with whatever you're doing, and just be open to discovering something more. Also, because these things come from sometimes they came from the future. They come from maybe even times that were Atlantis and previously and all this. And some were given directly from the heavens, you know, or from Creator, and or some what we call prophets or holy people and gurus. And they were just amazing gems, and they're beautiful. But just remember, life is in flux. So we are able to rediscover the meanings or the dynamic of a particular practice and rediscover it in the context of our time right now, and we can rewrite basically the meanings of them. So anyway, the next person is Antonia. Hi, Antonia.
Hello, Aratima.
Hello.
I will have to start with you, but also all this that you're talking and the questions that people are asking and stuff. I want to share a something that I experienced Friday that it came out of nowhere. Mm-hmm. And I was like in the middle of a tornado.
Okay.
And it was like I went to second beach, probably, or maybe even lower than that.
Where did you
and
go?
And it was very, like in the second D.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Or maybe even lower than that.
Okay.
And it was a conversation that I had with a person that it just confronted me right there and started questioning me why that I am the way I am, why that I talk the way I talk.
What did you say to the male? Did you respond?
I use very, very ugly language.
Okay.
I was upset. I was like, it's not your business. You have your opinion of things. I have my opinion. Leave me alone. Go on. Don't even stop and say hi to me. I mean, it was bad. And then when the conversation was done, I'm still in shock. I'm like, where did that came from? Why did that happen? It came out like in the middle of nowhere.
Well, you know, it's always like that. If your light encroaches onto areas of darkness, and the darkness lives in, and as you expand further, you could say expand further into yourself, which is past lives, is whatever, it's collective stuff. So you will, I think I've shared in the past, you know, when we moved here and we brought this light here, then suddenly the demons would sit outside on front of the glass door, you know, my back glass door. Mm-hmm. And we basically had to shoo them away, and they just didn't like it that we encroached on them. So we had to start, and it caused often, you know, issues with even because some of them are held within the people, some are held within the land or whatever happened here. Mm-hmm. And so you just hold your ground. You're here to digest these things, you could say, you know, to integrate them and illuminate them. And so how do you do that? You continue to do your Jyoti practice, and you are meeting the shock or any shock is a form of emotion, right? Meet that just and kind of be with it and let that expand again, you know?
Okay. It was very uncomfortable. Play situation and everything, and I'm like, I had to move forward. I was already feeling like I was advancing, and then I went back, you know.
Yes, but that's part of the
so
maturity.
Many years back, and I don't like to be there. So when
Antonia,
you were talking to Nadia about going back to 3D and 4D, and I was like, oh, mine was all the way to probably 2D, and I didn't like it.
But
it
you have
very
to, yeah. The amount of discomfort I went through just last month, you wouldn't believe it, but that's just what life does. You see, for you to not like the 2D or 3D and all that, that's the judgment, and that needs to be polished, right?
Oh.
That needs to be cleared.
Okay.
You need to meet these parts inside of yourself and recognize, oh, I'm really disliking that. I'm suffering, you know? I'm not talking about a personal like and dislike, be like coffee more than tea or something. No, I'm talking about suffering aversion. And then you become conscious of it. And then this gets all sort of smoothed away until you because in essence, remember your heart chakra that is going to open up through all the chakras. You become a full portal, like a whole doorway. Somebody should be able to fly through you. Do you see what I'm saying?
Okay. Well, I feel like the males are attacking
the men
for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Men.
Yes,
men.
I know. I have that even with people like I have not everybody, like I have a nice gay guy in our healing group, but usually on email, the men, they are just like I don't know what to say, not to be impolite, but it's like they're like kings that are demanding, that are I don't know how to say it, but it's like and yeah, you know what it is, it's the patriarchy is cleansing. It's not easy for them. They're just also starting to, and they're kind of unconscious, so they're starting to act out this kind of superior thing, and so we'll just have to, it's just something that's happening. Remember, it's a part of us too.
Like last night I received a picture
from one of my brothers back in Mexico that is a picture that of the family when I was like 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a comment. He wrote a big thing, and he said, even then, the way you're looking, it's like you're telling us, line up or I'm going to line you up. Mm-hmm. And I mean, what was that all about? I was like, oh.
Yeah.
He was reading my expression, which I didn't know. I didn't know that, but yeah.
Yeah, just own it all and just let it eat you up. Just let it move through. Don't touch it. Just feel it. Just these weapons. When there's nobody there, a weapon goes right through you, right? So be nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, just don't touch it.
Okay.
Just feel it. Yeah. Okay. All right. Good.
Nice to chat with you.
Okay. You know, Tonya, whenever you go through a growth process like you're doing right now, like a real growth process, this is really, because it's darkness turning into light, right? You're going to own this light and become it. Just up your practice a little bit. Just then you can get through it faster. Yeah. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome. Okay. I have Patricia in the Netherlands. Hey, Patricia.
Hey.
Hi. Oh, I'm here having a. Can you come a little closer? I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Yeah, I have to speak up probably.
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, better.
Mm-hmm. Usually, when I start listening to the call and I have an issue, when it starts, it just dissolves.
Yeah.
But now it doesn't. And probably you have given the answer to my issue somewhere, but this night I can't view it. And the issue is for me, there's I've been angry and I'm fearful all day because it was announced that Austria is, what you call that?
A lockdown?
No, everybody has to get the vax.
Oh, yes, yeah.
They have to pay lots of money.
Yeah.
And that is really close to the Netherlands. But it made me so angry and so fearful. I sat with it, and I sat with it again, and I did breathing and my class.
Well, anger is not a bad thing. It's an appropriate situation to get angry. You don't have to get rid of the anger. The anger is actually an energy that will change the world. This is why people get up and fight, and this anger is this is coming back to my story of the religion. Anger is not a bad thing. Everybody thinks anger is so bad. You should get rid of anger, and you should be just like a, you know. No, you are angry because you're passionate right now about, no, somebody's coming and basically harming you and other humans, our brothers and sisters, and it's absolutely unfair and it's outrageous, literally. So now the anger can now be utilized in a certain direction. So you ask yourself, where can you direct this? Because we're going to have more of this. Mars is going to be very active this year, like I said, the fire. What can you do that will basically help this situation? I mean, you can encourage people to live in Austria if you're friends or whatever. You can just say, don't pay these freaking fines. It's all illegal. Who cares? You know, whatever fines they give. And just basically start, you know, going against the courts and whatever and make them all too busy. I can't even handle all these, you know, trying to make the fines. So anyway, it's just been a whole population. So it's a good thing. So are you okay with being angry?
Oh, yeah, I'm okay with being angry, but I'm not okay with being fearful for me, for myself.
You're not going to be fearful? Sorry, I'm just repeating because I can't hear very well.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I am not being okay with me being afraid.
Okay.
Anger is okay, but being afraid for something that is not here yet.
Yeah. Okay, there's a judgment, right? Fear is moving through you. Just it's okay.
Yeah.
There is something. There's fear moving through you. Don't judge it. Don't think, oh, it shouldn't be there. You have an idea of yourself. You have an idea of Patricia should not be a certain way. But there is fear moving through you. Can you love yourself enough to let this fear move through you. And maybe as you're doing this, you might get a thought that comes with that. Maybe it says, you know, some honesty that because the fear is based on a way of looking at things. And then that way of looking at things you become conscious of. And when you become conscious of it, the fear falls away and you will be more free.
Yeah, okay.
Awesome.
Can I sit with you for a moment?
Yes, okay. I'll say one more thing. And that's really connected to enlightenment, and it's that we have come to a place where we are not scared of death. We're not scared of anything. We're so free to meet anything that's in front of us that we become so fearless. And this is what humanity is losing or getting rid of or dissolving and digesting. It's this incredible fear. That's why this whole world is so controlled. So it might be some part of your own fear, but it can also be collective fear, you know, in Europe and overall. So as you're letting it flow through you, you're doing a great service and you're allowing everything to move forward, you know, with more freedom. Yeah. So
I understand.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Something clicks in my body when you say that.
Mm-hmm. Good. Okay. Yeah. If you can sense that. Yeah. Good. All right. Thanks.
Thank you,
Patricia. You're welcome. Thanks. Okay. Here's Kim 7789.
Hi, Rachel.
Hey.
Hi. Thank you for this call. I don't have a lot of words now.
Okay. What do you want to say?
I understood, you know, what you were saying and, around the religion. I feel like I've been doing that for quite a few years,
mm-hmm.
letting go of the Catholic part in me. What I wonder is, is that also with, like, the deities that we work with? Do we do that as well there?
Of course, they're all part of
all of it.
Of course, they're all just the way I'm. There's a way of being with each other, just the way I'm with everybody here and with you. But at the same time, I don't identify with Kim. I'm not going to identify with a deity, or I don't. Arrange my identity around that relationship. So okay. I do know them. How do I respond? I always respond to everything that is, what does it trigger in us? You know, some things expand, mm-hmm. some things contract, but we don't have to make a religion out of it.
I understand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Makes sense?
Makes perfect sense. I notice I'm going through this, I guess it's a disillusion, where part of because I've been sick and I don't know, I feel like I'm coming out of a cylinder almost. And everything that, like in my home, I just, none of it fits anymore, nothing,
mm-hmm.
I don't feel attached to anything anymore. It doesn't really resonate
good.
With me.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I wanted to say, sorry, I don't mean to be all over the place, is the zikr. You know, when you did the call, and there's just something so beautiful and sacred,
mm-hmm.
That it actually moved me to tears.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to thank you for that. I listen to it.
Good.
All the time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, well, because the sounds come directly through and they don't go through a form or a shape.
Mm.
They come direct.
Direct.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
May I just, thank you. May I sit with you?
You're still a little bit sick, right? So I don't want to sit with
you
because of that.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. You're welcome. Thanks. I have 4479.
Hi, Fatima. This is Anya.
Hi, Anya.
So I would like to ask, when we chant mantras to a planet, for example, to Saturn or to anyone, how do we position ourselves? Is it like we thank them in advance for helping, or we ask for help, or how would you?
Well, that would be a religious way, and there's no problem with that. I mean, it really depends. Like, Stephen, it's a good question. How can I describe it? We are in relationship with things, just like a mother is in relationship with a child. And we have there's stuff that happens that we do. We do a mothering, but at the same time, we're not like. We can be totally identified as a mother, or we can be free and know that we're not really. This is just a role we're playing, but we're much more than that. So you can, if you are free and you just aren't really caught in anything, you can do puja to the planets. And I've done this in the past. You use these little betel nuts, and then you know, nine of them. It would be sort of in a jar, and then you put the sindoor on it, the red little dots and the ashes and all that stuff. And the energies come in because they love it, because these are, you could say, morphic fields or entities of the planet, our consciousnesses. Of course, these are our consciousnesses. So what when we do puja or we chant mantra, we want to bridge. First of all, we become aware of that part of us, which is we had forgotten because we sank into 3D, right? So we become aware of them. We can sense them. We awaken like some synchronicities. Oh, I'm feeling this function of this energy. And then we basically begin to master it. We actually merge with it. So instead of a Saturn ruling us, we basically begin to grow out of it. Just like when we go into teenage years and we become more and more equal to our parents. So we go into an place where we become equal to them, and then we grow out and live on our own. So Saturn at some point gets mastered. It's quite an intense being existence to master, but all of us as a humanity are doing this right now. We have to overcome the Saturnian, or some people call satanic, which is restrictions and rules plus religions, all part of it, constriction, limitation, and authority. And we're basically starting to fight with we break out of it. We're losing the fear. And then what that means is that we will embody that. We are then our own authority. So then the Saturnian energy will become, you are your own sovereign being. You have to have digested that Saturnian energy. You become it. You will know you have to get up. You know you have to exercise. You know what to do. You are really in charge of yourself instead of having it in duality enacted upon you. So depending on your level of freedom and where you're at, you will play around with the mantras or your relationship with the planets in a certain way. And I trust you've been on this path for a while. You know exactly where you stand and how to relate to them.
So it's almost like we feed them in a way. We give them blessing or whatever we offer the offering.
When you do a puja, you do that. Yeah, you actually literally give them offerings and feed them. And if you're wise, you know that you just often in puja. You know what I did when I did puja? I would do a hand movement. I take like from my heart these qualities and put them out there in front of me into the idol or into the betel nuts or whatever. And then the whole puja goes on. There's a lot of people and all that. And then at the end, we all take again this purified, because let's say you have idols and you pour water and milk and all that. You bring the energy back purified into yourself. It's almost like, you see, we can wash our body and our clothes, but it's really hard to wash and feed spiritual qualities within us. So humans have created rituals in order to do this on the outside, in order to basically alter things within us. I mean, feng shui is part of that as well, you know, by moving things around. But when you chant a mantra by itself, you know, you are beginning to fine-tune your instrument to the sound of, to the consciousness of that planet, if it's a planet in that sense. And whatever is out of sync within you, which means through your astrology, your birth chart, it will become neutralized. In essence, you move everything into the zero point. These mantras are actually all zero points. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that makes, that's very clear. Thank you.
Yeah. So, and because you're a tantric, you will understand that you're beginning to merge with everything, and you'll become more and more like Jason has a huge amount of Saturn because he's done millions. So he's has so much authority already that he's become it. Like he's to a large degree. I'm not going to evaluate right now how much and all that, but I, you know, there's other things, right? Yeah.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Good.
Can I sit with you, please?
Yeah. Okay. Okay, thank you. Thanks, Anya. Thank you. So last hand here is Danica. Hi, Danica.
Hi, Arachna. So I had a question. As you were talking about religion and stuff like that, I could feel that all kinds of stuff clearing out and like radiating out of my body and stuff, and a lot of confusion, and even confusion about my name, like that it's not real, right? But then everything kind of started to kind of shrink back inside, and now I'm experiencing like physical pain in like in my chest, and I'm wondering, is that because I'm holding on to some concept so tightly that I'm not aware of that it's actually causing pain? Is that possible?
Yeah, that's possible. If it's not moving through slowly, because sometimes when things move, they can be painful, but when it feels like stuck, yeah, then there is it in the heart area, you said?
Yeah, like in the middle of my chest.
Yeah, so just, you can just basically be with it. And when you are going into that pain, do you have a thought that comes up? Is there fear or is there like, I don't know.
I think it's a fear.
Okay, yeah, and it's religions are all based on fear, right? They have a mm-hmm. if you do this, you're good, and you get, and if you do that, it's bad, you know, something bad happens, yeah.
Okay, so I'm just going to sit with it then. Thank you very much. May I sit with you for a moment?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can also ask who is experiencing this pain without answering. It's already moving. Can you feel that?
Yeah, I can feel it. As soon as that question, who's experiencing it? And then it started to move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good. All right. Thanks. Well, we talked about heaven and hell, right, in the heart. And when you say who is experiencing this, a little, what you can call it, a demonic force, or whatever the contraction force, it's like I'm being detected, off I go, you know, somewhere else. All right, so okay, let's just sit for a moment here and just come back to just you being yourself. I'm not overthinking anything. We don't give any of this to the mind. We're just letting it all digest, trusting that you, who you are, knows exactly what to sort, what to digest and keep, and what not. This happens with your deep inner intelligence. It's nothing you have to do. You just have to trust that. right. Thank you. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. May there be peace here and everywhere to all beings. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Have a wonderful Sunday. Thanks for being here. Okay. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.